Don't knock until you tried it, unless it is the bathroom door. Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang. All right. Well, thank you to Snark Hunt 2000 for that catchphrase submission, Snark Hunt 2000. And welcome to Comedy Bang Bang, of course, the world's first dingless podcast. No dings on this when I get a text alert. That is true. The first podcast ever. First podcast ever to receive no dings. And that is my promise to you for 2024. Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang. My name is Scott Aukerman. We have an incredible show today. Coming up a little later, we have an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs are back. We decided to let them back in for 2024, and the floodgates have opened, and they are back. We also have a tourist. We have a tourist. So this is a very exciting show.
Already. Crashing and burning.
This is not my dings, okay? This is not the dings of I am receiving. This is one of our guests, the guests coming up on the show, trying to detour me into a dingful podcast. That is not happening. There are no dings on this show that are emanating from me. We need to get to our first guest, and this is exciting. This is his first time ever on the show, and this is someone that I've been a huge fan of for decades at this point. He started out, his breakthrough performance was as Ducky in Pretty in Pink. Then he starred in movies such as Hiding Out. And then he segued into television where he...
I took a sabbatical.
A sabbatical from movies.
Is that exactly.
Sabbatical still continuing?
Yes, interestingly. I felt as a professor of the arts of drama... I would go on sabbatical and learn the ways.
That's the whole thing
television.
About sabbaticals is they shouldn't end.
They
right?
should not. No. I think America hopes that I stay on sabbatical.
But he became an incredible, enormous television star, starring on the television show 2.5 Men for, I want to say, 12 seasons. Is that?
You'd be right with 12 seasons. That was just a guess you pulled out of your ass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, I just figured, I was thinking back. I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
You went through all of them in your mind. Yeah. You're like, wait, there was 263 episodes. Right. First episode was the pilot. Second episode was Big Flappy Bastard. So that was the one with
Big
Charlie.
Flappy Bastards.
Where
episode 2 was called Big Flappy Bastards.
It was about seagulls. And as everybody knows, are known generally to those who are intimate with them as Big Flappy Bastards.
He won 2 Emmys for a show that the second episode of which was entitled Big Flappy Bastards. I don't know what was going on with the Television Academy, but...
they were going in a different direction.
But, and then he starred in such things as he played Lex Luthor in Supergirl.
Yes.
An incredible career. He now has a new show called Extended Family, the season finale of which is this Tuesday on NBC. Is that correct?
Yes. NBC and then Peacock the next day.
The very next day.
Exactly. It leaps upon.
Watch it twice.
NBC. Exactly. If
yes.
You need to experience it twice.
Please welcome, for the first time on the show, John Cryer.
Woo! Woo!
Giving himself his own.
There's a very small studio audience, and I am it.
John, I'm going to tilt that microphone to
okay.
aim a little more at your face.
Be at
okay.
more at my face.
Yeah.
I was kind of doing the off mic thing, so that
yeah.
I sound
well, you're
like,
you're also you're not a movie actor anymore, so you don't realize
still
you have
on
to have
sabbatical.
What was the last movie you did?
The last movie I did was actually a really good one called Big Time Adolescence.
Oh wow!
With Pete Davidson, he's fantastic. Sydney Sweeney's in it; she's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Machine Gun Kelly's in it.
It's
on Hulu. You can check it out.
You were in Ass Backwards, too.
And I
you?
Was in Ass Backwards.
Yeah, you were
with
great.
June Diane Raphael. Yes, had so much fun on that.
Yeah.
I was the very, very insistent stage manager.
Yes, you were great in that.
Thank you.
And of course, you know, perhaps most importantly, you played yourself in a sketch I wrote for Mr. Show, the Monk Academy sketch.
Yes, which is to this day my favorite work with a monkey.
Yes. Was there a monkey in Two and a Half Men? It wouldn't surprise me.
No, never.
They
been
didn't
a
replace
monkey.
Charlie Sheen with a monkey at one point.
They never. Yeah, that was Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, that's, right. Okay. Sorry. That's you,
there's a small,
small difference.
Small difference.
Well, you were very nice. You showed up to the set. I don't think you knew what your costume was going to be, because I think you went into your trailer and saw your ducky costume from Pretty in Pink and was like,
Is that what we're going with? I'd read the script, but they didn't. I don't recall it saying he has dressed entirely as Ducky. It said John Cryer drives up in a
right.
convertible
and said, hey,
with
guys,
a monkey.
Get the fuck in here.
Yes, exactly.
maybe they made me change it from Ducky to John Cryer. Just I have no idea. But
yes, I don't know.
But you arrived at your trailer and you went, "Oh, okay." And you were very nice and you agreed to do it.
No, it was a brilliant sketch. It was I loved that sketch. Absolutely loved it. The thing that killed me about the sketch was when David Cross is sabotaging the other side's and at one point because it was what we called back in the day a fat camp, which is a rude way of
it is a very rude way, and I may have referred to the actors collectively when I was giving some direction as that.
Yes,
and I got a talking to.
Yes. But when David Cross leads them astray in the midst of the big contest by leaving a trail of candy bars,
oh, right.
Of course, that's a totally 80s joke. But then he slits their throats,
yes.
Which was, I was like, oh, okay, that's where we're going with this. But I loved that sketch.
I also enjoyed it was just a math joke, but there's two really big competitions where the kids win one and the monks win one. And so they're tied at one a piece, and then the next the finale is worth 100 points.
Yes.
so whoever wins this one.
And the wrap off was great.
Oh, the wrap off. Yes.
Kurt's, which rap.
Yes,
yes. That was
great stuff.
Great stuff.
It was a lot of fun. You took a wonderful picture with me in the costume, which I have treasured for these many years. I mean, Pretty in Pink, a huge movie in my high school life. I was right there in the target.
Oh, really?
In the target age. Yeah, I was 16, I believe,
oh,
when it
goodness.
Came out.
Oh, so yeah, you were like prom was knocking on the door.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
knocking on the door, and I was not answering.
I didn't go to prom in my.
Really?
First of all, we called it the prom on the East Coast, but it was because I went to the Bronx High School of Science. Nerds.
But you were all nerds.
Yes, exactly.
So no one went to prom.
So. They did. They had a very small prom, but it was because it was also the 70s and late, and early 80s. It was not cool to go to the prom.
Oh, interesting.
In New York City, because we were, we were punk rockers who, we hate the establishment, man.
Were you really
prom is from the establishment?
Like, was that your sort of aesthetic in high school? Was like
yes. I was more sort of new wavy,
mm-hmm. post punk.
The Buggles.
Mm-hmm. Sure, Trevor Horn.
Yes, exactly. That was my group, and the theater nerds, which was
right.
Also a tiny minority.
So it was a science
minority.
School that actually had theater?
Yeah, not really.
Would you have
though.
To do science themed plays all the time?
No, we did. We did West Side Story, and I found out that I was apparently the one who was supposed to build the set. I did not realize that
until the day before.
I had a couple of weeks, so I built this just incredibly ramshackle set that was apparently the grandest set that Bronx Science had ever had. They left it up and just did productions that they could use
that set
until it fell apart and actually fell down out of the rafters in the midst of a show.
So in the midst
of The Good Doctor, which I don't know if that has, it was West Side Story. So I made this sort of cityscape
right.
that you could, take up into the rafters.
So I didn't realize The Good Doctor, the show, was based on a play. How interesting.
I believe it was probably something that, that was a dissimilar idea that was probably not.
That's so funny. They have a high school kid build the set. They don't check anything.
No, no.
And then it falls down.
Exactly.
And they're surprised.
And yes, liability issues, apparently not top of mind.
I have to say, did you see that Willy Wonka thing in England?
Yes. Oh, I loved that.
It gave me such agita because it reminded me of all the dreams that you have of like showing up to a play that you don't know the lines for, but in real life, you know?
Yes. The actors, I just felt for the actors in that because they gave it their all.
Yes.
And no matter how low rent and awful it was. And the children are screaming and crying and the actors are just, you know, digging in and finding that reserve. And this is going to be the thing that gets them through the day. And but God bless them.
So were you a stage actor then, or did you join the theater department hoping to be a stage actor? They were like, hey, you build the set. And then you're like, oh,
No, I was already a stage actor. I was like the experienced one. I had I went to theater camp when I was 12.
Oh, that's a good experience.
So, yes. Or no, actually, no, I did my first West Side Story in junior high school at 12. Then I went to theater camp at 14. So.
And you're the actor, by the way, I read this, the Guinness Book of World Records. You've done the most productions of West Side Story.
Of West Side Story. Thank you. Yes.
And you've hummed it
yes,
the most times.
Yes, I had one line in my first production. It was, but the gym's neutral territory.
Okay, so which character is that? I'm trying to...
That is a character called, ironically, Big Deal. And he says that at one point because, you know, they're saying, hey, we should have the rumble at the gym.
Yeah.
And I say, but the gym's neutral territory. See, and that's an important thing in the show.
Does anyone contradict that?
Nobody contradicts that, and the rumble ends up happening under a highway, and I know that because I had to build the fucking highway. I by the way, I didn't know if I could say fucking on the show, so that's why I don't worry. I'm generally very.
You get three, so you get one more.
Okay, great. Great.
And otherwise, it turns into an X-rated podcast.
Great.
And we don't want that.
Well, comedy gangbang, you know, which pretty much any gangbang I'm a part of.
Right. How many have you been a part of?
Well,
is there something in your biography about that?
Wait, let's check it. Let's look down the list. IMDb. Is there a porn IMDb? I don't know.
Although I feel like they started listing them on IMDb now, which is like,
oh,
could you come up with a separate website for that, please? Like, is that possible?
Is there a lot of crossover?
So the stuff that that I'm a part of doesn't have... Anyway. But so you... and then you... How old were you when you started being in movies? Were you out of high school at this point, or...
Yes, I got my first gig in 3 weeks before I left high school, which was a Broadway show, which was very fancy.
Was that the Matthew Broderick?
Brighton Beach Memoirs. And you have not lived until you've told off your super annoying social studies teacher that you're leaving school to go be in a Broadway show.
Oh, that's the dream.
It is the dream. Oh, Miss Tsagos. God bless you, Miss Tsagos. You tried. But
is Miss Tsagos still with us? I wonder.
I hope so.
Oh, man, that sentence could have gone either way.
Yes. But at any rate, then I got fired from Brighton Beach.
Why?
Because there's a lot of in that particular play, Neil Simon has written a lot of things of lines.
A lot of plays have too many of them.
A lot of them, exactly. And there were so many that I couldn't remember them all. So
wait, did you like actually perform it? And you were like,
did you turn
to the audience and go, I gotta confess, I don't know the rest of this. Just go home and read it.
Work with me here, people. I was his understudy. I was Matthew Broderick's understudy. Matthew Broderick won the Tony while I was his understudy. No pressure.
Did he share it with you? Did he sort of cut off the head and give it to you?
You've got my back on this. No, he did not. When you're an understudy, by the way, you only rehearse two times a week.
You actually rehearse two times once it opens?
Yeah.
Oh, you do. Wow,
yeah. So it's you don't get a lot of rehearsals. So right. By the time that he won the Tony, I had only had 8 rehearsals, and right. So I was petrified.
Right.
And
you're a young kid. You're 18 or so.
I'm 18, and the part is huge. Yeah. I mean, it's like Hamlet.
He's like
it's
talking this, to the audience he's talking to all the time.
It's told from his point of view. He's talking to the audience all the time.
Yeah.
Huge.
And then he
monologue.
Has to talk to other characters in between.
Oh my God. I mean, it's crazy what yeah. they ask of you. So at any rate,
did anyone ask you like before giving you the job, like, hey, do you think you can memorize all this?
You know, there's a lot of words in this. You may want to
honestly
check
somewhat,
it out.
Like they audition usually people, they do one scene or two scenes. Like they should do the whole play.
They should do the whole thing, but it would take hours. It's a 2.5 hour
I know,
show.
But still, that's I mean, you don't have 2.5 hours to get a.
You're right to get a job that pays well. At any rate, so I did. I finally did a rehearsal. About 6 weeks in with the director. By the way, you don't meet the director. You're working with the stage
assistant.
Manager.
Oh, stage manager. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I finally do a rehearsal for the director, and I ask for the line a couple of times.
Ah.
Like, as one does.
Sure, when one is the understudy. But
exactly.
That's not professional on Broadway.
But that is not professional on Broadway. And the next day, I got fired.
Wow.
And you know, and honestly, it's great because I do. I learn the lines now. I learned on the first day. I should really on the first gig that I should learn the lines.
It was always very interesting to me doing the Comedy Bang Bang television show because we had actors of all different types. You know, we had some people who had never acted before. We had musicians who had never acted before. We had comedians who this was their first job, and then we would have professional actors who were like on TV shows. And the difference of the professional ones who like were on TV shows, they would come in knowing even if it was pages and pages of dialogue, they had stayed up the night before memorizing it was just so vast.
We're terrified. That's why that happens. We are terrified.
Did you get rehired then on a different one?
Well, that's the crazy thing, though. They hired me back because
they were like, hey, guess what? No one can learn these lines.
After they fired me, I went and did Torch Song Trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
With Harvey Fierstein. Yes, I took it out to Los Angeles and Harvey did the show.
Oh, wow.
And then I got a gig in a movie called No Small Affair. Mm. And once No Small Affair came out, literally, this is how this happened, by the way. My mom was sitting next to the director, Gene Sachs, at a play. They actually had known each other. And Gene said, oh, hey, how's your son? And my mom, who was furious still that I got fired at this, was like, oh, no, he's doing great. He just starred in a movie. How do you like that, Gene Sachs? And Gene said, oh, we always knew he'd be a star. And then the next day, they called and hired me back at Brighton Beach Memoirs.
How many times did you end up doing it?
I did it for about 9 months on Broadway.
You did it for, so after Matthew Broderick
left.
Actually did it for 9 months. Oh,
I did it for 9 months. And then they were doing Biloxi Blues. Biloxi Blues opened as I was doing Brighton Beach, which was the sequel to Brighton Beach Memoirs.
Yes, I saw it with Ted Lange as from The Love Boat as the drill instructor. And they gave
that's
him
who you want.
They gave him the final bow. Isaac. And I was like, give the Matthew Broderick part the final bow.
Love Boat, is canon.
Sure.
As far as I'm
concerned. He would always, by the way, like turn around to the audience, like shaking up a shaker as for every line. Wasn't that what he would do in the Love Boat?
In the
oh no,
title
he would
sequence.
Point. That's right. He would point.
Oh no, yes, you're right. It was pointing.
It's been probably a month since I saw the Love Boat. So.
Yes.
So it slips from. But that's incredible to do that for 9 months on Broadway.
On Broadway. But then when Biloxi Blues opened, they needed somebody to understudy Matthew.
Matthew again.
So they asked me to, while I was doing Brighton Beach, understudy Matthew.
So you had
and
to learn
Biloxi
the lines
Blues.
For another show?
I said no. I said, it's probably, guys, I'm barely on top of these lines. I don't think you want me to have to learn a whole other show.
How many times did you forget the lines when you were doing it for real?
For real? I had a couple of drops, but you do every now and then. The scariest thing is when you're when you miss an entrance.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
the worst because you're sitting backstage and they have the speaker back there, and the speaker's usually crackling with, and then every now and then there's a little bit of silence because sometimes actors pause.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Sure.
But then sometimes that silence goes on a little too long.
And people are going,
And you realize that you're the reason that silence has gone a little too long.
I always felt like, too, if you ever jump over lines and you just skip to, like, you know, another page or something, those are usually the least important parts of the show. The ones that should be cut. It's kind of a note to the author in a way. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's something that Neil Simon should have taken into consideration.
So you never did the third one then, right?
No, I didn't.
What was the third one about? He becomes a banker on Wall Street? What happened?
That was, it was Brian Beach Memoirs, Biloxi Blues, and then Broadway Bound.
Where
he was about to become a playwright, or he is a playwright. I did not even see the third one.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I was so busy being a star.
Oh, right. That's, of course, then you segued into...
Stardom.
Stardom.
is what I segued into.
Which, Pretty in Pink and Hiding Out, and then
yes.
Superman 4, The Quest
yes,
for Peace.
The Quest for Peace, which brought all of it to a screeching halt. I killed the Superman franchise.
Well,
which is
I wouldn't say it
amazing.
Was your performance. I was excited to see it because I was like, hey, these are two of my interests, John Cryer and Superman combined. I might have thought you were playing Superman then.
see, that would have been fun. No, it was Christopher Reeve. They reassembled the cast from the first one, which was so exciting to me.
Yeah.
And the original script was terrific, but they ran out of money. There's like movies about how wrong that movie went.
And that had Annette O'Toole in it as well, did it not?
Annette O'Toole.
Oh, sorry. Who?
Wonderful Annette O'Toole. But yes. No, that would be... I would have remembered that.
Wait, who am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Mariel Hemingway.
Oh, okay. No, maybe Annette O'Toole
or,
is in the...
Or Margot Kidder. Or Gene Hackman. Are you thinking of Gene Hackman?
Who's it? Wait.
Peter O'Toole was in Supergirl.
Oh, hey, Jimmy.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, Jimmy?
Good. Gotta go.
Okay. Oh, thanks. Annette O'Toole's in Superman 3. Okay, I'm thinking of
There we go.
She played Lana Lang in Superman
yes.
3.
Yes.
And then, of course,
we had the whole gang back together. We had Gene Hackman and Margot Kidder.
Incredible.
And Jackie Cooper.
Jackie Cooper was back. One of the Little Rascals.
I was so excited. But he was like late Little Rascals.
Mark McClure.
Jimmy Olsen.
Gotta go. Okay. Bye, Jimmy. Thanks.
Thanks.
Sorry, that's Jimmy. He's been lost here in my house, I think, for years at this point.
But it's great.
Not all who wander are lost.
Hey, Jimmy, you're back.
Gotta go.
Okay, bye, Jimmy. See ya.
It's that he approaches and then leaves so fleetingly.
And they just ran out of money in the middle of it. And
oh,
so
yes.
It was...
They ran out of money because they were making He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, and they wanted to take all the money over there. This is the canon group.
And did they use all the sets from Super in the same way that they used your sets for West Side Story? Like in
yeah,
He-Man
they still,
as well?
They started falling down. Yeah. No, they just ran out. They just cut weeks out of the schedule. They just said, nope, we're not doing that. There was a big battle between Superman and the Nuclear Man. And they
yeah,
like,
the
nope,
Nuclear Man.
That battle's gone. And the script actually originally made sense.
Right,
it was a really terrific script.
That was, and what year was that? Was that 87? Yeah, and I was 17 years old. I went with my mom. It was one of the few like we had seen all the Superman movies together. She even saw Supergirl with me in Arizona, and so we went together. It was one of the I was 17 and not really hanging out with my mom at the time, but it was one of our
Scott.
Let's go to this together. Let's go to this together while I don't go to the prom. And we left scratching our heads.
Even I couldn't see it at the in New York because I was I was with my grandparents actually in Indiana. We were all apparently hanging out with relatives, and I took my grandma to see it. And about 10 minutes in, she just leaned over and said, "Oh, honey, this is just terrible." and because it's terrible. And I'm sad about it because I loved the original movie.
Yeah.
And I loved to be a part of that. And it seemed like it was going to be great when we first started.
Well, you got your redemption, though, because you came back to star as your uncle, Lex Luthor, in
yes.
Supergirl and then other various shows. You did the some of the crossovers, right?
Yes. I did. Yes. Flash and all the other.
That's the guy who runs really fast.
Shows. Yes. That's the guy who runs really fast. And that was actually really fun. Because I finally, my comic book nerdiness from when I was a kid actually was paying off because I knew all the lore and I knew all
did
the
did you really?
Stuff. Yeah. Because that's what one did.
In science in, slash theater.
At the Bronx
school.
High School of Science.
You should write some.
Sure, why not?
Why not?
There's a lot of shit I should do.
Yeah. I mean, life's not over yet.
No, you're right.
I mean, you can't just sit around polishing your Emmys.
It is time consuming polishing.
That
nervous.
Is true.
There's
yeah.
a lot of crevices.
Yeah. Do you think it's unfair that I have as many as you?
You know, I was going to talk to somebody about that at the Academy. We just have to. Can we make the categories different?
Yeah. Can they be smaller depending on like how big the category is or how important the category is? Well,
congratulations.
And congratulations. Many hamburgers to you as well. But can we talk about extended family? Because this is your new foray into sitcoms.
Yes, it's an exploration.
That's right.
Into
yes.
sitcoms.
You're dipping your toe back in the water.
In the water. You know, very carefully, tremulously.
Now, what's interesting about this show is it's based on real people.
Yes.
So this is a
yes, a lot of shows are, you know,
this is a new genre I'm calling biopitcom.
Okay. It's catchy. I like it.
Yeah. It's based on like a real couple.
Well, yeah, there's a weird factoid is that Wick Grousbeck, who's the owner of the Boston Celtics, he and his wife share an apartment with her ex-husband because they didn't want the kids, once the previous couple was divorced, they didn't want the kids to have to move back and forth. And it's just a very, very specifically odd divorce arrangement. They are three very close friends now. They're hilarious together. And basically, you know, Mike O'Malley, who is an actor and a writer, met him and said, "Oh, this is weird and funny. Let's do a show." And NBC said, "Yeah, that's weird and funny. Let's do a show."
A peek behind the curtain about the process.
Yes. That's that's how these things happen.
Michael Malley, of course, one of the fathers of A Student in Glee.
Yes. Yes.
And has created many shows. And it stars you and Donald Faison, right? And
yes.
Abigail Spencer, who people will remember, of course, from the 100th episode of the Comedy Bang Bang TV show, where we ate a hot dog from either end, Lady and the Tramp style, and then kissed with hot dog in our mouths.
How did I miss that?
One of the grossest things I've done as an actor, and she was very fun and game to do that. So mm-hmm. it was very
all
fun.
Right. What can I'm sorry, a little yes. more context on the eating the dog.
It was a meet cute. She played my fiance in that episode. It was our 100th episode. She played my fiance, and then we flash back to how we met. And I had been sold I'd been sold a bunch of hot dog buns without any hot dogs, and she had been sold a hot dog without a bun. And then we bumped into each other, and it came together and became a perfect hot dog, which we then, Lady and the Tramp style
ate together.
Until our mouths met in the middle, and then we tongue kissed with hot dog in our mouth.
Oh, my God. Oh, I am sincerely. I was sarcastically sorry that I missed that one, but I am now sincerely sorry that I missed that one.
It was very funny. It's currently out on NBC, the season finale of which can be seen this Tuesday. Is there anything shocking happening in the season finale?
Yeah, somebody dies, and then it's all next season will be about who killed them.
Oh, cool.
No, nothing.
And it's you.
Yes, and it's me. That would be shocking. It's a family. It's a show about a weird family. So nothing wildly shocking happens. Just funny stuff.
And are we coming back for a second season? Do we know yet?
I don't know yet.
You don't even know.
I don't even know yet.
Can you call me when?
I will let you know.
Because I'd love to have a little addendum at the end of the episode. Just leave me a voicemail and we'll put it at the end of the episode.
Great. By the way, we're done. We had a great run. Thanks. God damn it.
Well, this is exciting. You're back on TV.
Yes.
And for all the film directors out there, sabbatical could be over.
Could be over. I could be enticed mm-hmm. out of my sabbatical.
You could do Superman 5.
I could. I'll tell you, those doing superhero shows are... first of all, it's really hard. And when you get there, you realize that a lot of these actors are really, really good. Like Grant Gustin on Flash.
Yeah, they're great.
Melissa Benoist. I mean, mm-hmm. it's hard to do that straight-faced and
make it actually seem believable.
And make it actually seem believable.
Yeah.
And it's also just an incredible physically demanding job.
Right. He's got to run around.
You get hoisted
on
stuff.
Then they put it in fast forward.
Yeah. Well, maybe less for him. But Melissa was like hanging from wires for significant hours of the day, and doing all, and you got to do these fights and you got to do all this stuff that it is really hard. Yeah. And I, so I was, you know, I found myself also having to do some of that stuff, you know.
You had to hang from wires?
I had to hang from wires. Ooh. Like first day, they had to pick me up in a helicopter and then hang me from a wire later because apparently I put on my Lexo suit and fly away and Supergirl catches me. And then I like, I don't know.
This sounds amazing.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
So a helicopter on your first day where you're like, what the fuck am I doing? I have two Emmys. I'm a multimillionaire. What am I doing here?
Why am I wasting
hanging
my time
Fear Factor
on this?
Style from a helicopter?
You know, but again, you know, you get older in life and you go, you know, are my days of hanging from helicopters over?
That's true.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Was it
thrill? I mean, I am fascinated by this. Were you sort of like, well, okay. But then was it thrilling to you or were you like, you know what? I could never do that again. I'd be fine.
No, it was great. It was genuinely fun. I actually didn't, just so you know, it was fake.
Okay.
I did not actually hang at any distance from the helicopter. I got, when the helicopter's on the ground, they shot me with all kinds of stuff. And,
so you never hung from the helicopter.
I never, no.
So you're kind of a liar. Is that
I'm kind of, I came on your show
trying to act like
lie.
A big man.
trying to act cool. Man. Well, no, the crazy thing is when I did Superman 4 back in 1987, they did a lot more stuff practical. We had to do, the very first shot that we shot on that show was, toward the end, you probably don't remember, Superman, Lex Luthor and his nephew Lenny, try to escape the city after getting caught in an open top roadster. Superman flies underneath it, picks it up, and flies away with it. Well, first day of shooting, they wired a roadster, open top roadster with me and Gene Hackman in it, wired Christopher Reeve underneath it, and pulled it up on a huge construction crane.
Day one.
Day one.
Is this the first time you're meeting Gene Hackman?
This
and
is
Christopher
the first
Reeve
time I'm
too?
Meeting Gene Hackman. I had met Christopher Reeve.
But Gene Hackman, he's a legendary actor.
Legendary
he's probably
actor.
Very imposing.
Very imposing.
He plays cranky on screen, which leads me to believe he's cranky in real life.
Famously cranky in real life. Mm-hmm. Super nice to me,
okay.
At any rate. Yeah, no, he was lovely. We had a good time. I think he sort of saw the writing on the wall and was just like, this is a fucking train wreck. And,
wow.
And just did not worry about it. Just was like, make sure they let me go in time for golf.
I love the story that he didn't want to shave his head in Superman 1, so they made him wear a wig.
Yes,
supposedly.
Yes.
It's so great.
Yes, God bless him.
God bless Gene Hackman. You know, Mr.
I loved that movie, that first movie.
And
the
so
second
great.
One was great too.
Sure. Have you ever seen the Donner Cut?
No, come to think of it.
Yeah. We should watch it together.
We should watch it together.
We should watch it for my movie podcast. I'm trying to monetize everything.
Yes.
Every action I ever take.
Great.
John, it's great to have you. You also have a podcast. We'll talk about that on the other end of the break. But Extended Family, the season finale up on NBC Tuesday tomorrow.
8:30 after Night Court.
After Night Court, another
if
great
Night
show.
Court is not enough for you.
Yeah.
Just keep plowing on through.
I mean, I know that it's tempting after Night Court to just switch off
the
TV.
Switch off
the
TV. No,
I'm sated.
For God's sake, take a moment. Think it through.
Think it through. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have an entrepreneur. This is exciting. An entrepreneur.
I'm excited about entrepreneurs.
You probably have a
they're
lot in
the
common.
Engine of growth. They're the job makers.
That's right.
The rest of us are
job
merely
takers. Although you have a loan out company, so you are your own boss.
Oh, really? You're okay.
I'm assuming.
Are we criticizing my level of capitalism? Is that what's happening here? Is that what this is? Is this a gotcha?
This is a gotcha podcast. Yeah, I forgot. It's a Dingless podcast and a gotcha podcast. We also have a tourist. We'll be right back with more John Cryer, more Comedy Bang Bang. We'll be right back after this. Comedy Bang Bang, we're back. John Cryer, Extended Family season finale comes up on Tuesday, and the entirety of the entire season, 13 episodes, can be seen on Peacock starting on Wednesday. Although you guess you could see the first 12 now.
Yes. Yes. Feel free to binge.
Sure.
Feel free to
13
just...
would take you, let's see, they're 22 minutes a piece. It's about an hour for three. We're talking about 4.5 hours
That's
or so.
Nothing. That's nothing. Your kids don't need you during that.
If you
time.
Watch Killers of the Flower Moon and not every episode of Extended Family, what are you doing with your
Seriously.
Life?
Seriously.
You also have a podcast. It's called Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
Yes.
Tell me about this.
It is the is a bananas true story. True story about a young public defender in 1986 in Miami, and you know that was the time of Miami Vice,
and it was about a year before Superman IV: The Quest for Peace.
Yes,
came out.
Exactly. That's what how everybody
you're
places
probably
that
filming
in their
it
mind.
At the time you're being picked up in the roadster.
Yes, like the opening of Scarface is a year before Superman IV comes out. There's a crawl saying, but. it was a wild time in Miami, just horrifying amounts of drugs and just drenched in violence.
What's
and,
a horrifying amount of drugs, by the way? Well, you've been around it. You did 2.5 men for 12 seasons.
Are we using the metric system? Are we using kilos? Are we... there's no conversion chart for when you hit a horrifying amount. At any rate, he's this young public defender in Miami. His first felony case is a guy who's been caught with a machine gun and a silencer, which nowadays is no big deal.
Wait,
but
and
then,
he's using the silencer on the machine gun? Is that possible?
That was the theory at the time.
So it's like...
So he confronts the guy. He says, okay, I'm defending you. Why did you have a machine gun and a silencer? And the guy says, well, I've actually been running guns for the CIA. And the guy he says, sure, you are. And he said, no, you don't believe me? Here's a phone number. And the guy called the phone number, and it was the National Security Council. It was the White House.
Wow.
And he had sort of accidentally uncovered what would become one of the biggest presidential scandals in U.S. history, which was Iran-Contra.
Wow.
That Ronald Reagan was actually fighting a secret war at that time that was illegal because Congress had specifically said, hey, man.
Yeah, hey,
no,
man.
No secret wars.
Bro, could you just not secret war?
Dude. So it ends up being this crazy adventure that involves like the world powerboat champion and James Caan.
James Caan?
James Caan, swear to God.
Films thief?
Yes, films thief. I films rollerball guy, as far as I'm concerned. But the crazy thing is it's a crazy story. But it's also funny. It's kind of like the In-Laws because it's just they were so hapless back then. But it's and also kind of terrifying because a lot of the people that were behind that are still pulling crap today. So.
Wow. So what do you do in it? Are you narrating it?
I'm narrating it.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
It's interviews with all the real people. Because a lot of this has come out and a lot of new information has come out and a lot of stuff that that links up to conspiracy theories from way back when, like the October surprise and all kinds of crazy stuff is a
right.
part of it.
And you researched this whole thing and you're just making it up, right?
I'm just making it up. thank you for allowing me to clarify on that. This never happened.
This is a being
Ronald
hoisted
Reagan
by the helicopter
president.
Situation. Ronald Reagan wasn't president. Wow.
It is all true. Jack Bryan, the documentary filmmaker behind Active Measures, which is, if you ever get a chance, terrific documentary. He was interviewing somebody for that. A guy named John Mattis, and John Mattis said, oh, by the way, I was the guy who exposed Iran-Contra.
Wow.
And led on to, he did an expansive interview that
ended up becoming... What a fascinating story. How many episodes of this podcast are there?
There are 8 episodes, I believe.
Wow. And it's currently airing, or are all
it's
8?
On. It's,
all
yeah,
8 are out there.
Lawyers, Guns, and Money. Get it on Apple Podcasts,
okay.
Wherever you go.
Exciting.
After you sate yourself with Comedy Bang
Sure.
Bang,
well, you got to watch Night Court first.
Yes.
Don't turn it off.
Don't.
Then watch Extended Family, and then you can turn
and
it off.
And then do whatever you want. Or you can watch The Voice if you want to.
I mean, Reba's on now, I guess.
No, Reba's awesome. Tremors.
How do you
dude.
Know?
Dude. I met her. She's lovely.
Okay.
She's lovely, and she's one of those people that like you know...
you led me to believe that you're on The Voice this season.
No, I'm not. I have lied terribly. I am not on The Voice. Reba McEntire is on The Voice. She is a national treasure.
Yes, she played the mermaid in Barb and Star, Go to Vista Del Mar.
Yes!
I mean, that alone puts her into the comedy pantheon.
Exactly, exactly. And Tremors.
And Tremors, of course, yeah, where she battled the Graboids.
Come on!
Yes. We need to, speaking of Graboids, we need to get to our next guest. We need to grab on to our next guest. He is an entrepreneur, so we're having him back. He's not been on the show for a little while, probably because I put a ban on entrepreneurs. And now he's back. He is, of course, the owner and proprietor of the Smooth Criminal business, which we'll get into a little bit. John, you probably have no idea who this is.
No, but again, grateful to meet any kind of entrepreneur because they are the job makers and the rest of us who merely are
trickle-down economics,
take
of course.
Jobs.
Yes, exactly.
They make them.
Exactly.
We're lucky.
Don't be alarmed by his hairless state. He is 99.9% hairless. Please welcome back to the show, Al A. Peterson.
Hey, Scott. It's great to see you again.
Hey,
it's
this
been
is John
quite a
Prater.
While, my friend. Hello, John. How are you?
I'm great, Al.
It's good to see you.
Thank you.
Now, we've never met. Is that correct?
We have never met.
Is this your card?
Oh my God.
Wow. The Ace of Diamonds.
Wow.
He's that good.
Interesting. When did you pick the card?
He pulled it out from behind my ear.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
From fully 6 feet away.
I had no idea you were actually a magician as well.
I'm not. I've just been carrying this card around. I've been asking everyone I meet.
Oh, this is your personal card.
I found it.
From your personal deck?
Yeah, I found this on the street.
Oh, okay, great. Al, welcome back to the show. It's so good to see you.
It's good to be here, Scott. And just a minor addendum. The business is not called the Smooth Criminal business.
I apologize.
The Smooth Criminal because, of course, I am completely hairless except for my anus hair.
Yes, that's right. What is the business called again? Is that
the business doesn't have a name because it's an illegal operation.
Oh, I see. So you can't actually name it.
It's better not to.
Right. Okay. But you, John, if you've never heard Al A. Peterson on the show before, describe exactly what your business is.
I help people fake their own deaths. Mm-hmm. If you're in a bind, you got to get out.
If you're in a bind, you're
way behind. You're looking to make a deal. Come to me, and I will help you start a new life.
That's right. And but have you ever been in that situation where you're like, God, I wish I could just start all over,
fake my own death? No, not that I can remember.
I feel like we would.
Well,
know that.
Oh no, after Superman 4.
Oh yes,
there's that. I should have engaged your services.
The Quest for Peace. Oh.
The Quest for Peace.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if I've ever seen 3 and 4 of the Superman franchise, but in 4, Superman himself gets fed up with the human race and their nuclear proliferation, and he says, "I'm going to throw all these nukes into the sun."
Yes.
Yes. Yes. It's not that he's fed up with the human race.
He loves the human
he
race.
He loves the human race.
He just
race.
Wants to protect them.
No, a little
them.
Kid, a cute kid asks him. That's really all it took.
He never thought about it before.
Never thought about it before, so as far as I know.
As Clark Kent, he's writing headlines
he's
every day.
He's a newspaper reporter.
Yeah. Earth on the precipice of nuclear war is his byline.
He just shrugs and keeps typing.
I wonder if somebody can do something about this.
And a child shall lead them.
Yes. And of course, 3 has Richard Pryor in it.
That's right.
And playing the person who figures out how to steal half cents from his business and becomes a millionaire, which they then stole for the movie Office Space.
Hold on a second. This is a big enough crime to attract Superman's attention.
I don't.
Accounting errors. It's a new area for him. The Fortress of Solitude has
I believe
a section of accountants.
It's a Kryptonian trait to hate embezzlers.
I believe that the main villain, who is, of course, Robert Vaughn, he's up to no good, and Richard Pryor is his employee. And then he finds out about Richard Pryor's malfeasance in the corporate sphere,
right?
And then enlists him as a dupe in order to hide his own nefarious plans.
This is going to sound like a harsh question, but are you fucking kidding me?
I may be getting it wrong. I don't know. I know that we tried to do a shot-for-shot remake of the ending of it in one of our Bang Bang episodes.
That might explain your encyclopedic grasp of the plot points.
Yes, I watched it again in order to...
Fair enough.
In order to replicate it. But,
that memorable closing scene in Superman 3.
Where Robert Vaughn becomes a computer.
Yes!
And walks around as a boxy, like, robot.
I have to repeat my earlier question. But it does confirm something. I have never seen that movie.
Also, there's a weird subplot where Superman gets split into evil Superman and good Superman and battles himself. It's a wild movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know what I'm doing today. Immediately after this recording.
Do a watch along.
Maybe I will do a while. Who wouldn't love to hear me watching Superman 3?
If you would, for John, encapsulate the way that you help people fake their own deaths.
Let's say you're in a situation where you have to disappear. I put an ad in the newspaper, in the classified section, and it's an innocuous ad, but you know what to look for. Then you come to me. You meet me at the appointed place. I will then forge passports, credit cards, and I will shave your entire body, excluding, of course, your anus hair, because that way you retain a little bit of your own identity
and dignity.
Mm-hmm. And dignity. And then you start your new life.
Yeah.
And I also advise you, don't grow that hair back.
and that helps with people not recognizing you, or why is that?
It does help with people not recognizing you, at least right away.
But now, okay, you're giving them new passports.
Yes.
And new ID.
That's right.
But I would imagine, and then you shave them. You also tell them to, like, go somewhere else, I hope, because if they just stay there shaven with new papers, it doesn't, does that accomplish?
I can offer that advice. It's up to the sure. to the client to take it or not. But one fine point is that I shave them first, then give them the new passports.
I was
going to
say, if you give them the new passports before you shave them,
they don't match the passport. The purpose.
Exactly.
And this is in order to replicate your own experience of how you...
This is how I got the idea, yes. You see, in a former life, I had a college sweetheart fiancé named Carlifer. And
I see you wondering
a
about
small
that name.
Quizzical look on my face.
Carlifer, of course, is a
it's a clumsy portmanteau of the names Carl and Jennifer, her parents.
Okay.
and that, by the way, was a sticking point between you and her father. Is that correct?
Not much of a sticking point. I mean, it was taken care of very, very quickly.
And I'm forgetting exactly what happened. Oh,
let me remind you.
Please.
Carlifer and I had been dating for quite some time. We were college sweethearts. And then when we were about to take the plunge into becoming affianced, I was invited to Carlifer's house for dinner. And I met her parents. Her mother, Jennifer, of course, was a vermouth drunk and had drunk her, I think, fifth or sixth bottle of vermouth that day. Mm-hmm. She was in the kitchen making dinner, and I was meeting Carl, her father, for the first time alone. And
you had met him with other people before?
No, I was meeting him for the first time.
And you were
and
alone.
We were alone.
Oh, okay. Yes. Got it. Yes. I thought that was running together. For the first time alone.
Yeah, well, you were wrong.
Okay, great.
It wasn't.
Okay, so this is the first time alone or with any other
But you know what, Scott? Carlifer was there, so we weren't technically alone.
So she was in the kitchen.
Jennifer was in the kitchen.
Jennifer was in the kitchen on her fifth bottle.
On her fifth bottle of vermouth.
And this is
learning the dinner.
And which room are you in?
The living room.
The living room.
Or the parlor, as some people call it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or the TV room.
Yes.
There's many names for it.
Sure.
But it's all the same thing.
Right. Sometimes we would call the living room the formal living room. And then we had the family room, which was the TV room.
Oh, I see. Mm. Very, very Downton Abbey of you.
Yes.
The formal living room. What would happen to the formal living room?
Not
heads
much.
Of state, dignitaries, sure. Yes. I would imagine.
Were you not allowed to go in there as a child?
The dog was not. I'll tell you that much. And sometimes my father would pretend that we were all leaving the house and would... we would all get into the car and he would slam the car door and sneak back into the house in order to see if the dog then went into the living room and would surprise our dog and punish it because it would always sneak in there once.
That's entrapment.
When I recount it now, it seems like the actions of an insane person.
Yes. Was he aware the dog did not speak English? And so the commands were largely lost on him? To try to explain to a dog,
this
don't go
barrier.
In this room.
Yes.
Because this is where we meet dignitaries and
in any case, what happened once you were in the...
I'm meeting Carl. Hmm. And I had long held the idea in my mind and in my heart that Carlifer was a clumsy portmanteau. And I told myself, if I ever meet this man, I will tell him it's a clumsy portmanteau. And while that's exactly what happened, I shook his hand.
And mid-shake this happens?
As I'm shaking his hand, I'm also very subtly forcing him
down into a kneeling position.
While saying, Carlifer is a clumsy portmanteau. And once he dropped to his knees, he thanked me.
For that feedback.
Yes.
Wow. Wow, what a power move.
And I remember hearing Carlifer in the back by the door, you know, this because I marched right. As soon as the door opened, I marched right up to him. He got out of his chair. I gave him the get up motion.
Would he not have gotten out of his chair had it not been for that?
Who can say? But I wanted to be the one who got him out of the chair. Sure. And so he stood up blinking.
I'm sure the light from the open door suddenly is kind of blinding him.
Well, it was nighttime.
Oh, okay, that's right.
He was there for dinner.
Sure, okay. Maybe the porch light, though.
Who would have a blinding porch light?
This is such a vivid,
I've heard this story before, but I loved hearing new details.
He was blinking in fear.
Oh, I see.
Yes, I was establishing myself.
You're an imposing figure.
As the alpha in the room.
Right.
Yes.
And he was the sort of beta cuck in this relationship?
Not a cuck, but beta, for sure.
Sure,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he stood up blinking and so confused. And I grasped his hand. And the whole thing began. Carlifer, still standing by the door, I remember her saying, I love you so much. And I didn't know, and I still don't know to this day, if she meant me or her father Carl.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you breezed by her.
I breezed by her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you even like peck her on the cheek, or was it just immediate, like, hey, you get up?
I gave her a little swat on the rump.
Swat on the rump with one hand, meanwhile beckoning, hey, you, get out of your chair with another.
And extending a hand after that as well.
That is a complicated question.
I didn't extend the hand until he stood up blinking.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, but that's to have the presence of mind to accomplish all of those things immediately upon entering an environment you'd never been in before.
I had plotted it out meticulously and several times had to hide my whiteboard from Carlifer.
So you'd done a recon mission in order to figure out the...
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, the layout of the room.
Probably my first criminal activity was sneaking into their home. So I'd get the lay of the land.
You were not yet smooth at that point?
No, I was not. I was very hirsute.
Yes, that's right. And then after that, of course, after that chance encounter.
Well, you know, when Carla and I were getting... Carlifer and I were getting so serious. And I think I just panicked and I thought, well, this won't last. She'll leave me. But I didn't want to be the one to be left. Wait.
Yes.
I didn't want to break up with her.
Yeah, well,
so I thought, I'll force her to leave me.
Right.
And so what I did was, in a colossal, colossal act of underestimation of a woman that I loved deeply, I shaved my entire body to fake alopecia, thinking that she would be...
That would do it.
She would be so petty, so shallow as to break up with me. And of course, it only made her love me even more. She said, we'll get through this.
And she vowed to be with you through thick and or thin.
Yes. Hair-wise.
Yes.
And I was so ashamed that I left without a word.
Through the open window,
till
right?
That night, I went through the window. Unfortunately, I was wearing one of Carlifer's favorite hoodies. And she's been tracking me ever since to get that hoodie back.
And possibly for closure... Regarding why you may have done this?
I'm not worth the closure. I'm sure it's just for the hoodie.
Right, okay. And so you've changed your name several times, although not as long as we've known each other.
No, I've retained the nom de crime, Al A. Peterson.
Right. In your personal life, have you changed your name continuously in order to throw her off the scent?
Just me by myself?
Right.
Just alone?
Yes, because she's tracking you.
She is tracking me, yes.
Right.
It's almost like the Incredible Hulk TV show.
Sure, or The Fugitive.
Yes, it's like one of those shows where or The Littlest Hobo. She's she's one step behind me.
And as long as you keep moving, you're one step ahead.
That's
but every once in a while, you'll get to a town, I would imagine, where you're kind of like, this is actually a nice environment.
Exactly.
Nice people.
I may put down roots here for a moment.
But then a murder will occur.
Well, yes, and that person will have to disappear, and I will help them do so.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so now you try to replicate that experience for people out there who want to change their own lives.
Yes, and look, I'm not here to judge you. If there's any reason why you feel you need to disappear, that's all I need to hear.
Really? And you need to know the reason, though?
I like to. I mean, I'll always ask. I'll always say, you don't have to tell me, but why are you faking your own death?
Well, it's interesting to talk to people, especially when you've been on the run for so many years.
I'm a real people person. Yeah, I love to talk to people. Absolutely.
You love to come on this podcast and tell your own story, which I love.
You would be surprised at the most common reason people fake their own death and start over again is because they're bored.
Really?
Yes.
They're just bored with their own life, and they just want...
They're bored with everything.
Yeah. I can only imagine. I mean, you know, John, you and I are in show business. We're peers. We have the same amount of Emmys.
Yeah.
We have exciting lives. But for the regular Joe Schmo out there, you know?
Yeah, who really, what is the point of living day to day?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I guess it makes sense.
You know, I'm realizing something right now.
Okay.
When you said Joe Schmo. Mm. That's always the name I give people when they start over.
What?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay. So this is, yeah, this might be a bookkeeping
I ordered
problem.
The passports in bulk.
Oh, no.
The fake passports. I just put the picture in there. So they're all Joe Schmo. They all have the same birthday.
So if there are Joe Schmoes out there, they're like, the chances are 99.9% they're your former client.
They're yes. hairless. And
yeah.
got it. Wow. Yeah. Just traveling the wasteland.
Does anyone... the wasteland? You yes. mean non-Hollywood?
Yes, exactly.
Flyover
the flyovers.
So does anyone ever quibble with that? Do they say, could I be a different name that I picked myself?
They all do. Mm. And I say, no, that's not the way it works. You're Joe Schmo from now on.
Well, it's wonderful to have you back on the show.
It's wonderful to be back on the show,
what's
Scott.
Been going on recently, then? Why are we continuing to talk about the past?
I'm taking a little bit of a sabbatical.
Oh, you are? Really?
Yes.
Much like John. Yeah.
Oh, are you taking a sabbatical?
I'm taking a sabbatical from theatrically
stardom.
Released films.
Right. Oh, I mean, I suppose I'm doing that, too.
yes.
I've been on that since the day I was born.
But yeah, sometimes the grind gets to me, and I feel like I need to... I need to remember who I really am.
Mm.
And I haven't used my own real name in such a long time.
That's right. Have we ever established what it is? I can't remember.
No, we haven't.
Oh.
And we never will.
Okay.
Don't make me do the get out of your chair motion.
Oh, shit. By the way, you're
it's
miming
terrifying.
Patting someone on the rump right now. So I'm getting very nervous.
I wasn't aware I was doing that.
The so gesture is terrifying, I must say.
It is. Oh, it's so imposing.
It's terrifying.
So you're taking a sabbatical from faking people's deaths?
Yes, exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
So what are you doing with your time then?
I'm working in an Arby's.
An Arby's?
Yes.
America's so, sir, roast, this is an Arby's.
America's roast beef, yes, sir.
Mm. Wow.
Jamocha shakes. Let's just, I'm putting them out there.
Yes, I do.
Just putting it out there.
Well,
ladies
I don't know
and gentlemen,
what, I don't know what these
Jamocha
are.
Jamocha shakes are the coffee shakes from Arby's
are.
That are astonishing in both their taste and the astonishing amount of caffeine they provide.
Really? I've never
for
had
you.
One.
Oh, yes.
There's that you, Arby's over on Sunset, perhaps.
Boom.
The one that's yeah,
it's going
to
happen.
Has the drive-through Jamocha window shake. Right next to someone's apartment.
Yeah.
Which we tried to replicate in the Between Two Ferns movie in a deleted scene. interesting. So you're working at an Arby's in what capacity?
I'm making sure that the Jamocha shakes don't kill anyone.
Oh.
Because after that Panera Bread fiasco with the supercharged lemonade.
They had to install sort of a checks and balances situation?
Yes, they said, look, we need someone who knows the criminal mind. Someone who knows how a murderer thinks.
And so the Jamocha shakes are the murderer in this analogy? Or?
Exactly.
I see. So you're out there judging the Jamocha shakes for how...
I am Red Dragon style getting in the mind of this Jamocha shake.
Oh, great book. Great movie.
Manhunter.
That's right, yes. But also remade as Red Dragon.
That's right. The original book's title.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, more books should be made over and over again.
Why not?
Why not new Silence of the Lambs next year?
I would love to see Batman's parents die once more.
Yeah, I can't get enough of it. That's can't my favorite part. I always leave Batman after that.
Absolutely. I hate when they bury it in the middle of the movie.
Put it right up at the top. So I can get the fuck out of here.
All that memory should be in chronological order.
Yes. Well, this is great. You're working in Arby's now. Do you go across the country doing this, or is this in one location?
I am traveling the country by train, making sure that all of the Arby's locations do not kill people with the Jamocha shakes.
Okay. Do you have train tickets for this, or are you just jumping on trains
like a hobo?
I have a special pass.
A special pass? An Arby's pass?
From Amtrak.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Incredible.
That so, if you're preventing murders, there is a special pass that you are given
You can just go. It's do they call it like the Poirot Pass or something like that in honor of the murder on the Orient Express?
Poirot?
Isn't that how you pronounce his name?
That sounds like seafood.
Poirot.
I love caviar and I love Hawaiian mush.
He had a crazy mustache, didn't he?
He did indeed.
You watched that recent one? It's like a ghost story.
Kenneth Branagh?
Yeah.
Murder in Venice or something.
That's
like that.
Right.
Yeah. That's the only one I haven't seen yet.
Oh, you got to catch up.
Yeah.
Do you have time, though, working at Arby's these days?
Oh, yeah. Nobody comes in. They just go through the drive-thru.
But they have the meats.
I know they have the meats, but they also have a drive-thru window.
And you don't do any meat-related activities at
Never.
Arby's? No?
Or in my life.
Wait, you're a
no
vegan?
No meat-related activities.
Okay. Meaning you're a vegan, you don't eat it.
By
you don't
default.
Wear- By default.
Yeah, I don't wear meat.
Like you don't wear leather, in other words.
Oh, no, I wear tons of leather.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a meat-related activity.
That's a stretch.
I mean, yeah, especially to get it in the shape of human bodies.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because it's originally cow bodies.
Do you feel that a pair of pants is in the shape of a human body?
Sure. I think so. In the shape, in the lower shape.
The bottom part of a human body?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
but
the
flat.
Whole...
Yeah.
Oh, well,
flat
yes.
Stanley style. You see the ad for that Harold and the Purple Crayon?
Starring adult man Zachary Levi.
Yeah. It's confusing, isn't it?
It is a little odd, but he does look so excited about his purple crayon.
I feel like you and Zach Levi could do the same parts.
Okay. You can feel that way all you want.
You guys could switch off.
We could.
Do you think you could play Shazam?
I could.
You know, that's an acronym. They don't go into it in the movies.
Oh, you're right. There isn't. There is like a whole. There's a whole backstory of
surgical.
Steven. Let's keep going.
So, well, Huber. It ends with mobile and it starts with surgical.
That's right. Okay.
Oh, so there's mobile is involved in
let's
it.
Let's do it at the same time.
Yeah.
Steven.
Hawking.
Hawking.
As
Zeus. That's the one. That,
and Miss Piggy.
Miss Piggy, yes. The two dream roles he has.
Stephen Hawking as Zeus and Miss Piggy.
Stephen Hawking is Zeus.
And
Miss Piggy in the same movie.
And they battle each other.
He was rich. He probably could have funded that, right? He was a rich guy, wasn't he?
Sure.
Sure, he got all that big physics money.
Yeah. Well, this is great for you.
He never touched his physics money.
No, you put that aside.
You live on the interest
of the physics money.
Yeah, he and Jay Leno would just put all that money in one shared account.
That's right.
And drive jalopies. They would race their jalopies.
Oh, man. Well, it's great for you. I'm so happy for you that you have this new exciting field going on. Do you think you're going to ever return to the faking people's deaths?
I think that I will. I'm already starting to get bored with people not dying from the joke.
Yeah, how many deaths have there been?
Only two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The two shakes escaped my notice.
That's not bad. I mean, how many shakes have gone out the door?
200 billion.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are good odds.
Yeah.
Yeah. But was anyone mad at you for those two?
They couldn't be. I remember my manager came up to me and said,
the district manager?
Al, somebody died from the 200 shake. I know that most of them you have checked and made sure they're not going to kill anybody. But just so you know, just be like a little more careful.
Couple slipped through your grasp, I guess. Yeah. That's what happened with those two, do you think?
What do you mean?
Well, why didn't you check those, in other words?
I think I was looking at my phone.
They allow you to look at your phone during this job.
Nobody comes in.
Okay. Nobody comes in, but the times that someone does come in order a Jamocha shake, you think that you would be like, oh, wow, someone's here. But no, just
I never said they came in.
Oh, what happened?
They ordered through the drive-thru.
So the drive-thru is out of your bailiwick? Or?
That's exactly right.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, that's somebody else.
Someone else does the drive-thru ones?
Mal A. Peterson.
Mal A. Peterson?
No relation.
No relation to you? How crazy.
What are the odds? Yeah.
That's crazy.
No, he's from Australia.
He is. Okay. Well, I got to talk to him at some point.
I don't think so.
Okay. We can't get him today?
We cannot get him today.
Okay. All right. Well, look, we need to take a break. It's a pleasure to have you back, Al. Can you stick around?
Of course I can.
And John, you can stick around. We have a tourist coming up.
Oh, I'm excited about tourists.
This is exciting. Yeah. This is a packed show. When we come back, we're going to have a tourist on the show. We're going to come right back with more Al A. Peterson, more John Cryer, more Comedy Bang Bang after this. Comedy Bang Bang, we're back. John Cryer is here. The season finale of Extended Family this Tuesday. All episodes on Peacock on Wednesday. And Lawyers, Guns, and Money, the podcast, anywhere where you get your podcasts. Very exciting. What else is coming down the pike for you? Anything?
That's not enough for you? Jesus
Honestly,
Christ.
It's not. I need more John Cryer
you
in my life.
You need more John Cryer. No, I don't. No, other than the TV show that I was making weekly that I've pumped out several hours of 4.5 hours of entertainment for you,
Thank
Scott.
You. What'd you do during
and
the strike,
podcast?
By the way?
I did the podcast during the strike.
Did you really?
Yes.
John,
always
keep
if you must know.
John. Give him the get up out of the chair.
Yes.
Okay, you accidentally did the.
I can't sell it the way that you can.
You accidentally patted my rump. And I
see.
You got to switch hands.
I'm not.
L.A. Peterson also here of Arby's fame.
Need to get out.
Coworker to Mal A.
Check
Peterson.
Out my ad. Coworker to Mal A. Peterson.
Did you ever think that you would? That's how I would describe you.
I never did.
Yeah, but that's what you are now.
Life surprises us.
Life, it truly does, and I hope it continues to, because it's wonderful when everything just comes out of the blue and surprises you, isn't it?
Yeah,
John.
You know, it's a very sad thing that a lot of people that I help fake their deaths, who out of boredom, once they shave their heads and they see themselves in the mirror. They realize, oh, I just wanted something different, but it's too late.
So the shaving the head part would have been different enough for them.
They should have just done that on their own, but the die has been cast, and they're Joe Schmo now, baby.
Well, we need to get to our next guest, and his name is not Joe Schmo, so that leads me to believe he's not one of your former clients.
That should be a permanent intro for you.
Okay, great. Yes, forever. Every episode we ever do. He's a tourist. Please welcome to the show for the first time, Carmine Back on Tour.
Hey, yo, what's good? What's up, Scott? Good to see you,
good
my man.
Good to see you. How are you?
Yo, ain't nothing changed, you know what I mean? Holding it down. BK yeah. to the fullest. I rock dolos from state to state. Word up. Yo.
That was a lot of information. So BK, meaning Brooklyn, you're to the fullest?
Yeah.
You're from
all
Brooklyn?
BK to the fullest. Yeah, full, all of me.
I'm assuming it's not Burger King, which would be a competitor of Arby's.
Nah, yeah, no doubt.
But
no doubt.
The fullness would make sense.
That's true, yeah. I mean, they have the Whopper.
They have the Whopper.
Yeah, yeah, and double patties and all that.
Yes.
Yo, what's up, my man? Allie, I seen you at Arby's, yo. I was up there. I was one dude up in there when I was visiting, you know what I mean?
I hope you enjoyed your time at Arby's.
Nah, I ain't like it, man.
What could I have done to make the
experience? I don't know what's going on up in there. I'm looking for some girls. I'm for some ladies. But I ain't seen nothing, shorty. You know what I mean?
That was the wrong place to be.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
No one goes in there.
Yeah, they told me there'd be some girls at the Arby's. Where that?
Who told you that?
Ving Rhames told me, man.
Oh, that because he's the guy.
Meats.
We have the meats.
He got the meats. That's
you wanted a meats cue.
Oh, that's what you thought? You thought meats meant girls in the Arby's?
Yeah, something like that.
We got the meats?
Yeah.
Just reading between the lines.
Hey, man. Hey, look, man. I don't know if y'all, you know, I don't know if you remember me. I was here before.
Oh, you were here before.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't remember me, though?
Was it your name, Carmine Back on Tour?
Yeah, I was here, shorty, back in 2018, my man.
Oh, you know okay. Yeah, it's great to have you back on the show.
Somebody else, a couple white girls. It was crazy. You know what I mean?
Some meats.
That was good. You from New York, too?
I am from New York City, yes.
Where you from? BX?
I am from the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
Oh, I thought you were from BX. But that's cool, too.
Is there a cool sort of urban nickname for the Upper West Side?
That's where Gossip Girl was filmed.
Yeah, that's where Gossip Girl was.
XO.
Never tried this stuff.
The GG. Or something like that.
XOXOs.
Is there something...
I don't know nothing about that, shorty. I'm from the jungles, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The jungles is raw out there. You know, far in Rockaway, Queens, Manhattan, Brooklyn. What's happening?
So you're from all those places? Those are
that's a lot of
I'm a
tourist,
territory.
Baby. I go around, see things. You know what I'm saying?
Shorty? Oh yeah, okay. What did we talk about on the show before?
You know, so basically, you know, I'm a virgin. I mean, my dick,
okay.
Yeah, my dick has never been touched. You know what I'm saying? I'm clean. I'm pure. Purified gold.
Not even by yourself.
Nah, shorty. You know what I mean, I never do. Well,
that must be hard when you're
times,
in a public restroom.
You know what I'm saying? You know, but, you know, since the last...
I guess I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I guess. I don't know. Honestly, I'm a little confused.
You know, I'm shorty. Hey, yo, shorty, you know what I'm saying? I'm almost 40 years old, but I ain't never been touched. I'm like that dude, you know, the 40-year-old virgin. Okay.
Right.
But so since last we talked, if you don't remember...
I don't remember. I'm so sorry.
It's all good, baby. So, you know, I go on tour, whatever, you know, shorty.
I mean, I don't, but yeah.
Since then, I got hired to work for TripAdvisor, you know what I'm saying? So I get to go travel and all that.
Great. So you review things for TripAdvisor or?
Yeah, they you know, I go travel and then I tell people if the city's dope, you know. So when I met Scott for the first time, you know what I mean? I was just in LA, you know, and they let me come in the studio, talk to the people, you know.
So you were working for TripAdvisor then, and you came
no,
in?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
I was just trying to.
You're just touring LA.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Right. Now I make a living doing it.
Congratulations. That's amazing. Yeah.
Is that city dope? Just out of curiosity.
Which, LA?
LA, yeah.
You know, it's tough out here, you know what I'm saying? Like, especially for a virgin, you know, they don't get a lot of love out here.
It's tough out here for pimps and for virgins. Yeah, it's tough.
You know, and you're just hanging around the Arby's looking for meats.
Sometimes pimps be trying to pimp me out. You know what I mean? Trying to pimp out a virgin. And like, hey, you want a virgin? And I'm like, look, man, my sanctity is pure, you know what I'm saying?
Why are you a virgin? Is this out of a desire to remain so until you're married, or is it?
Nah, nobody wants to have sex with me, man, you know what I'm saying? It's just a problem, you know? I don't know what's wrong with me. No one wants to get up, no.
You're involuntary. Voluntarily celibate.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you considered shaving your entire body and changing your name to Joe Schmo?
Oh, shit, shorty. You know what I mean? Yo, my man used to do that back in the day. You know what I'm saying? He shaved his body like that. My homie over in Foreign World, Yonkers. Yeah. One of the cities up there. You know
in
what
the
saying?
White
Wait, this is one of your former clients or
just a man that I knew, you know what I mean?
He shaved his entire body.
Yeah, a man on the block, you know what it is. He's from New York, you know, just cats out there, you know, doing
crazy stuff.
He's
from the Upper West Side. I don't know if
he got the chopped cheese, the West Side, you know what I'm saying? The Big Met out there, right? You know what I mean? The stairs, sitting on the stairs. You sitting on a staircase? You want to sit on a staircase with me, shorty? Hey, yo, shorty.
Why are you calling us shorty?
You're buddy shorty.
Yes, you know, I'm going to need a clarification.
You're 7'1", so yeah.
On the shorty.
Everyone's short to me, you know what I mean? Yo, my man, yo, that what is it called? The shake you had?
Jamocha shake.
Jamocha, yeah.
Lethal in the wrong hands.
On God, that shit had me right, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. On God, yeah.
You're welcome.
You ordered one when you were at Shorty, or at Arby's.
Shorty's
is next to Arby's.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I ordered one of them, you know, because I was feeling tired, you know, like I was trying to, you know, keep my stamina right just in case somebody want to get deflowered or I wouldn't want to get deflowered, you know.
Yeah, but it's just never happened for you.
Nah, man, you know, I got close a couple times, you know, during the pandemic, you know, it was a couple people, but you know, we got a little scared
during
the
pandemic. That's hard to get close to someone. Everyone was you know, taking themselves out of the mix.
Yeah, but I was outside, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I was outside, shorty, you know. I never stay inside. You can't keep me inside. I'm a tourist. I go around, I travel.
Oh, you don't have a home?
No, don't talk about that. I travel. That's what I do. You know what I'm saying? I'm a travel. I'm an advisor for Trip. You know what I mean?
Well, it must be hard also to be in a home. You're 7'1", which is higher than most ceilings.
Yeah, shorty, yeah. Yeah, you know what? You know, it's a tough life. I'm surprised because I know the ladies like a tall man. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They like a tall guy.
There's limits, though.
You know what I'm saying? But I put it on the apps. Dating apps don't work. You know, I don't know if y'all got any ladies that may, you know, got any people that work for y'all or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know any ladies myself. John, you probably know a few ladies.
Yes, I know some ladies. I have some ladies working for me. That being said, I don't think it would be appropriate.
Oh, I rock dolos from state to state. Word up. Yeah. Oh, man. No worries, man. No worries. God, peace. Hey, I was going to ask you a question. So, my man, you said you did that podcast on the Contra for an Iran?
Yes, yes.
Did they talk about how the crack, how that's connected to the crack epidemic?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, you're sure. Yeah, they flooded the whole block with crack. You know
exactly.
What I mean? Crack kills.
Well, it was, just so you know, we didn't do it on purpose. It just sort of happened. The planes that they were hiring to take arms down to the Contra just were empty down there,
right.
And they thought, well, we should bring something back, and so they brought crack cocaine. They were trying they were trying to be environmentally conscious, because the plane had to make the run back.
Yeah, the carbon
sometimes,
emissions.
If those planes are too light, they'll float away.
Yeah,
it's
fly up into the sun, much and, like the nuclear weapons that Superman
that
threw
Superman,
up there.
Very similar.
They used the crack cocaine for ballast, much like Belgian blocks in the ancient sailing ships.
Yes, that was
the
argument at the
time.
Yes, we all
know what you're talking about.
That's right, shorty. You know what I mean? Yeah, Superman. Shout out to Superman. Also,
shout out to Superman. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, Superman. another, I think he was also a virgin word up. You know
oh,
I mean?
Yeah.
Never seen
now
him
that you mention
never
it.
Never seen him fuck anybody.
Well, there was a Superman 2. Wasn't there didn't they hint?
Yeah, that they had sex. Although, if he has invulnerable skin, I don't know how he has any feeling.
I believe they had
there.
Sex after he renounced his superpowers.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh,
all right, that's what's
so,
up.
So,
because yeah. otherwise he would have destroyed Lois Lane's body.
And but then he kisses her and gives her, it's like an amnesia kiss.
Right.
Because she forgets.
As one does.
She yeah. forgets the fact that he's Clark Kent once he kisses her or something like that.
Oh yeah, Shorty, I remember yeah. that. And he flew out the balcony after that.
I can't remember exactly his mode of transportation for getting away from that situation. But
I like Superman. Me and Superman went in the same. You know what I'm saying?
In what way? Mm-hmm.
We both got an S tattooed on our chest.
Really? Oh, you do?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think it's tattooed on.
I got an S tattooed for Shorty. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's high up there, so I can't quite see it. I mean, you have a seat, by the way. You can sit down.
Yeah. Okay. Let me sit down here. Yeah. Right, cool.
Yeah.
You have a very short torso.
Yeah, my torso is tiny. You
Your
know,
long
I mean?
Legs are very long.
Very
yeah.
long.
Look, yeah, I'm all stretched out, my man. But I got to tell you what, you know what I'm saying? I got the booty hair, too. I got a lot of it.
What does that mean?
I got a lot of booty hair. So, you know what I'm saying? And I want a woman to know that that's something they're going to have to see when when we have sex for the
exactly.
first time.
Is it just centered around the anus, or is it the entire...
Right in the anus.
That's where you want it.
Uh-huh. When your clients, you know, do you have a lot of tickling back there? You think it's the hair, or is it something else going on?
A lot of people laugh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's just a little tingle, I guess.
When I'm shaving around the area, because sometimes I'll have to trim the anus hair, but of course I won't shave it.
Right, but you'll hear a lot of tee-hees and...
Oh-ho-ho.
Sure, yeah. The various ways.
Yeah, my booty hole would be like... I rock dolos from state to state. Word up. Yo, my man. Yo, you from New York, man. What's good, Shorty?
There's a lot of good things in New York City.
I feel like we're not from the same city. Word up.
You have a lot in common.
They're, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I don't know whether you're a virgin. I've never speculated on it.
No, I am not.
Oh,
I have a son.
Congrats.
Oh, wow. I have a couple of sons, actually.
God bless.
So there, the 23-year-old
son. He's had sex
two
more times than you.
4 years
Damn,
ago.
Short, yeah, so what's it like? You know what I mean? What am I missing out on?
You know how when you're on a roller coaster...
You've never been on a roller coaster first.
Yeah.
Before I have sex. Okay.
Yeah, see if you like that.
He may be too tall to go on a roller coaster.
Oh, no, that's right.
My God. I didn't know that goes two ways.
Could be very dangerous.
That you can be tall.
Too tall.
Just being too shorty.
That's
heartbreaking. That is heartbreaking.
Tell me about your conceptions.
I don't think you're immaculate, but yeah, I mean, hopefully you did a good job, but I don't know that.
I felt I did a superior job. I felt like I really brought it.
It resulted in the thing you want to come out of it.
Yes.
Childhood. That's the only purpose of making love.
Of making love, exactly.
Yeah.
It is the
what were you
going
to say about the roller coaster?
Of God's love. I don't remember.
So it's like when you get on one, it's fun.
There you go. It's fun, except that your penis is inside their vagina.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sure,
other than that.
So it's like that. It's like that. It's like a roller coaster, except that your penis is in
I'm going to have to try that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I think I'm going to do it. You know, it's been a long time. You know,
how old are you?
I'm almost 40. Yeah.
Yeah, so. That's right. Yeah. It's been too long.
You know, and last time I was here, I met a young lady. She was a male woman. And she was fine. You know what I mean? She was bad, you know, like straight, you know, just mocha skin, looked like the shake from the Arby's, you know what I mean? And I think we even got married on that.
I don't remember. Who was that?
Oh, you remember this, Scott?
Congratulations.
You don't remember none of this.
I mean, look, I'm sure it was a great episode.
I couldn't wait to see you again, my G.
I apologize. I try to remember all my guests.
I've been telling everybody on the plane. I was riding the plane. I said, yo, first thing I'm going to do is see my man Scott Ock. You know what I mean? The Ock.
I apologize.
You know what I mean? And,
but you got married to one of our guests. And
you know, it didn't work out. You know, she was trying to rush me. You know, I wasn't ready to give up, you know.
But now you're ready.
I'm ready. It's been a long time, you know, a long time. Word up, you know. So we're going, you know, for all the listeners out there, if you want to have sex with me, let me know. You know, I'll be at the
Arby's
with Ali. Ali, what's up? What you doing? You listening to me, dog?
What do you... Al, he's talking to you.
On his phone.
I'm so sorry. I was looking up some information about our friend Carmine. Would you be surprised to know that Carmine was originally a 48-year-old virgin. And he also was seeking a life partner below his own height of 4 feet 11 inches.
Oh, wait a minute. So are you Benjamin Buttoning both your age and height?
Yo, shorty, I'm telling you, when you don't have sex, crazy things happen.
You know? So you're getting younger as well as taller.
I'm getting younger and I'm getting taller. Last time I was there, I was four feet, you know what I mean? 38.
48.
Yeah, now I'm 30.
Now you're 39.
Now I'm 39. Seven feet.
Yeah.
And crazy. I understand you married Scott's postal worker, E Dream Vignette.
That's right. That's right. That was her. Don't bring her up, though, because, you know, that's a painful memory. You
that's
know what
right.
I mean?
And you
I mean, she tried to touch me immediately. Word up. You know, as soon as we got back to that post office truck, she was like, pull your pants down. I was like, hold on, shorty. Hold on. You know what I'm saying? I'm a virgin. You know, we got to take this slow. And it didn't work out, you know what I mean?
I'm so sorry.
How long did
that? But see, I think that she was trying. I think that there maybe there's hope for you guys.
I'm
sorry that it was trauma for you.
I don't know that you're ready now, quite honestly. I don't think you want to have sex. Like, anyone can have sex.
I mean, yo, you know, maybe I'm scared, Scott. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm afraid. Maybe it's been so long that I don't, you know, I'm afraid. I don't know. It's too late, you know what I'm saying, shorty? Fuck this. I hate y'all. Well, you're making a New York brother cry. You know what I'm saying?
I apologize.
You know, we don't cry in a concrete jungle. Word up. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying, John? What's happening?
I'm right John there. Yeah. But I weep openly.
How is this man supposed to rock dolos from state to state?
That's right.
If he's crying.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think that maybe that's something I need to consider, that I should just do it. Maybe I'll go to a
either do it or be fine with not doing it.
The thing about not doing it is then you become special for not doing it. Once you do it, then you're not the special guy who didn't do it.
You could have a perfect record. We could call our good friend Fred Guinness and be like, man, it takes the longest time for not having sex.
Word up.
Oldest virgin.
This is a way to
probably a better way to say it.
The oldest virgin. Yeah.
Oldest virgin.
Is that who's? I wonder how old the oldest virgin is right now.
I don't know. I mean, there's only one way to find out, and that's to call Fred Guinness. Here, let me call him here. Dial in the
boop,
number.
Boop, boop, boop.
You don't have to say that while I dial, by the way. I appreciate it.
Sorry.
It's giving me a big ego boost. I appreciate it. But
no, I do that when anybody.
I understand.
Sound like my booty hole, John.
It's ringing.
You're good for Guinness.
Hey, Fred.
Scotty.
Hey, Scott Aukerman of Comedy Bang Bang.
What's up, my man? Who are you hanging out with?
Well, today I'm hanging out with John Cryer, you know. Two and a Half Men and...
Superman 4, The Quest for Peace?
Yeah, of course, yeah. And also, Carmine Back on Tour is here.
Yo, what up, BK?
Hey, what's going on, Carmine?
It's good, sure.
To the five boroughs.
Yes. New York, Queens, Manhattan, Queens, Manhattan.
Bronx, Staten Island.
Delancey Street.
Yancey Street.
Yonkers.
The Baxter Building.
It's Barbara Time.
Chinatown. Little Tokyo.
Sure.
Figueroa.
Yeah. Well, we have a question for you. L.A. Peterson is also here.
Oh, hey there. The Smooth Criminal, right?
Yeah.
That's correct, Fred.
And we have a question for you. Is there an entry? By the way, John, this is Fred Guinness, who runs the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yes,
he's
well known
in Ireland, of course.
Right?
Is that right? And we had a question for you about: do you have a section in the book of oldest virgin male?
Oh boy, everyone wants to go to the dirty section.
You know, ain't nothing dirty about being a virgin. Word up, you know what I mean?
Well, it's sex related, I guess. That's what I meant.
Although it's non-sex related, it's actually one of the cleanest things that cleanest entries that could be in your book.
Good point.
Yeah. So, is it in there?
Of course it is.
How old can I ask? Because we have Carmine here, used to be 48, but now he's 39.
Word up.
How old is the oldest male virgin?
Yeah, I'm trying to hit the world record. Word up. My man, I'll rock dolos from state to state.
Yeah, that's important information.
Can you also look that phrase up? Tell me what it means, shorty.
Yeah. All right, let me flip through here. Two fat guys in the motorcycles.
Oh, yeah. How are they doing, by the way?
I'm sorry to say they've passed on.
Oh, that's right.
Yo, God bless. Y'all praises do.
What happened with that dog, oldest dog?
Oh, Bobby.
Yeah, you had to rescind it,
that
right?
was a real black eye for the Guinness Book. We did have to rescind it.
Yeah.
He was not the world's oldest dog. That title is still held by Bluey, the Australian cattle dog.
Very good.
Who has also passed on. And Bobby turns out just look like shit.
Right. Young dog looks like shit.
Young dog looks like shit.
Okay.
He does hold the record for youngest dog who looks like shit.
Well, that's something, so, at least. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Lady with the curly fingernails. Almost there.
Oh, I know that girl. Word out. Yeah, she used to be.
I thought that
fly.
Was a guy with the crazy long fingernails. Like from India?
He has passed on.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, all praises do.
When people
and,
pass
and
on,
the lady with the curly fingernails has also passed on very recently.
Oh, no. Really?
It's always terrible when we lose a member of the Guinness family.
Yeah. Yes, this is a
Robert Wadlow, the world's tallest man for a long time.
Wait, how tall? Because now Carmine back on tour is 7'1".
Yeah, where
yeah.
That,
well, he was the world's tallest man for a long time, but this was a very long time ago. So he was 6'1".
Oh, snap. Yeah, that's yeah. That dude is a shorty.
But
yeah,
he was in the book for so long.
He's in the book for so long.
He's part of the Guinness family.
He's part of the Guinness family.
Yeah.
You can see a life-size recreation of him outside Ripley's, Believe It or Not, our rival publication.
Yeah, that's one of my TripAdvisor spots. I had to pull up on him.
Oh, what'd you think? Yeah, what'd you think?
The Ripley's Museum?
It was garbage, yo. Word up. Garbage.
Yeah, that's not a real dinosaur.
Yeah, I went to it once, and literally I was through it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's like you walk in, you walk right out.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Shit is crazy.
All right, when do we get to this a section of the book?
Here we go. All right. Oldest living virgin.
Oh, it has to be living. Male.
Yes. Oh, well, I gave you both.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'd be great. Deadest, oldest virgin.
Deadest, oldest virgin.
Deadest, oldest. My head is like a Sharks fan.
I don't know what that is.
If I'm not much mistaken, that is the closing song from Deep Blue Sea by LL Cool J.
Yeah, shout out to LL Cool J.
Ladies love Cool J.
Straight from New York City.
Oldest,
Queens.
Deadest. My head is like a shark fin.
I think he's from Queens, Manhattan, Brooklyn.
You'll get him. You'll get him.
No, we got it.
Yeah.
BK.
BK for the fullest.
BX. QN.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
S-A-S-I.
S-A-S-I. Saucy. All right. Let's see here. Okay. Oldest and deadest virgin. It's a tie.
It's a tie. Amazing.
The two fat guys on the motorcycles.
Oh
shit.
That stands to reason.
Yo, they doubled up.
They wouldn't get off their motorcycles.
Yeah. They were twins.
No, they were dedicated.
They were twins.
What if they smashed together on the bike while they was on there?
And their penises were inserted into each other's anuses?
Yeah.
They would have not been virgins anymore. It's
right,
true.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
But wait, technically, does anal, wait a minute. Yeah. Whoa, hey, wait, I think.
As far as John Cryer's concerned, anal doesn't count.
This is why I'm stopping the presses on this.
Yo, stop the press. Yo,
this is,
up,
wait,
yo.
Whoa.
Where the press at?
So how old were they?
Hold on a second, John. Yes. You one of these guys that thinks soaking is okay?
Oh, snap. I was going to try that. I was dating a Mormon chick. We was going to do soaking because I figured, you know, maybe that's going to ease my way into it.
Were you going to have a friend jump on the bed?
Yeah, have my man do it. You know what I'm saying? My homie, Gareth, he came through to jump on the bed. Yo, he was like 300 pounds. You know, he was knocked us out of, like, me.
This
out
wasn't
of
one
time.
Of the fat guys on the motorcycles, was it?
What's their name?
Was he wearing a cowboy hat and aviator frames?
Yo, I told him not to wear that shit too. That was the biggest issue. Where I'm like, if you're gonna come do this, come dress right. You know, don't dress like a fucking cowboy. What am I supposed to do with that?
How old were they, and how dead are they?
They lived to be 120.
Oh.
Shit, that's a buck 20. Word up.
Yeah, and how dead are they? 120%?
They're 1,000% dead.
Wow, okay.
Wait, hold on a second. Why am I giving this information?
Yeah, Al, what are you doing?
Yeah, Al, what's going on?
They're taking my job.
Al, come on, Al.
Yes, they...
like the Renaissance.
They were not 120 years old.
Al, come on, don't fuck with
they were thing. They were in their 90s and but they are 1,000% dead.
Yeah, I don't think you're ever gonna get there.
I don't think I can
Carmine,
make that
because you're getting younger.
So I gotta go all the way down to zero then come back up.
Well, do you want to know your competition? Because I can give you the oldest living version.
Oh yeah, that would be great.
Male. Oh yeah, word up. Yeah
It's a guy named Roger Tankersley. He lives in Greenwich, Connecticut. And he is 102 years old.
Oh shit, man, shorty. So he ain't never been touched. Never been touched.
Yeah. And he's still
proud
alive.
Of him.
And he's
proud
still alive.
But he might have sex. So then
it's true.
Then you might then be in
clear
the
field for you.
So here's what.
But you also have to live to 102. Sorry.
Well, no.
But,
I think
I hope you're living right.
I think 39 is probably the next.
Too, oh, so that's oh, also okay. A problem.
That's
know?
Also a problem.
39 is probably the next because if 102 has sex, suddenly it goes down to 39. You're the oldest.
Bam.
And so what you have to do is you have to like honeypot this guy. Lure him into having sex somehow.
Man, what you saying sounding real sweet, Scott. Yo, let's make it happen. Yo, my man, we get to get some Arby's. Give us a little Arby's. We'll make
it. Is his address
happen.
In the book?
Of course it is.
Can we send some meat?
If you look to the back, everybody's address, Arby's. All record holders' addresses are in the book.
Okay, you got to. Oh, you in that? It's my bad. I thought you was talking about Arby's. You had the addresses at Arby's. Y'all have addresses there of people?
Actually, we do have addresses at Arby's.
You do? Of Arby's
Y'all
gotta
put
customers?
That in the IRA.
So anything
concert.
You want. That's, one was, of the,
that's part of the contract.
We don't advertise it. It's sort of an off-menu thing, but if you come into an Arby's, you ask for any address.
It's like the off-menu, we have the secret to look menu it up. Of
In-N-Out. Exactly. How the government put crack in the hood. They was using that Arby's.
That's it.
Wow. Okay.
Word up, you know what I mean? This, put me on your podcast, doc.
Wait, that's what this is about? You just want to be on his podcast?
I got some
You're
shit
on this
to
podcast.
Yo, you don't even remember me, shorty. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Ain't no love. Ain't no
that's
love
a, that's
in the heart
a good
of the city.
Point.
Ain't no love.
John Cryer would remember you if you were on
back,
his podcast.
I can't wait to get back to New York. You know what I mean? That's where they truly love me. You know, all the boroughs love me. You know what I'm saying? Queens, Manhattan, Brooklyn.
Now, let me ask you, Carmine, are you gonna on your way back to New York, will you rock dolos from state to state?
Man, I rock dolos from state to state. Word up, no matter where I go. You know what I'm saying? Like, word up. Yeah, baby, you know, it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? It's like wherever I'm at, I got dolos. State to state.
I think we know what you're saying. It's pretty clear that time.
Yeah,
I don't know what dolos are necessarily, and I don't think you knew either.
I don't think you need to. I don't think you need to.
Yeah, it's something.
We can extrapolate.
Something special.
It's definitely something.
If I had to guess, I think they're pants.
It's a good guess, honestly. It's an educated guess. Hey, Fred, thank you so much for answering these questions for us.
You got any time, Scott. I love talking to you, and I love being on the phone.
Someday we got to meet in person, by the way. But
pass.
Are you hanging out with Jason Mantzoukas when he goes out there to Dublin? I think he mentioned he was going to see you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's going to see you and Byron.
I can't wait.
Yeah. You and Byron. What's going on with the Queen, or with Princess?
Kate
what's
Middleton?
Her name? Kate Middleton, yeah. Do you have any idea?
She missing, sure.
I don't know how much I'm allowed to say.
Is she in the book?
You know, stop the press.
She is. Well, you know about the dark records, of
sure,
course.
The dark records.
Oh, you got the dark. Yo, let's hear some facts from the dark records.
Okay, well, all right, here it is. She holds the record for most disfigured royal.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
So there's
and there's been some pretty disfigured royals in the past, so that's saying something.
You got Richard III had that hunchback.
Yeah. Yes. Well, most of them were born that way, but she was disfigured in a...
A wheat thresher or something?
It was a Xerox accident. She was going to do that fun thing where you put your face on the photocopier.
Yes.
But it wasn't a photocopier.
Oh, no. What did it turn out to be?
It was a waffle maker.
Oh shit. That's such a common mistake.
And then she did the other side.
Oh, damn. That's not a good
God, look, man. Good. Man, that's terrible.
She's just trying to even it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we heard about it here. Gosh, amazing. All right, well, we're breaking news here. I appreciate that, Fred.
Breaking news and rockin' dolos.
Okay, Fred, we'll talk to you later.
Get us out.
God, so good to talk to Fred Guinness. Al, thank you so much.
Of course.
It was weird when you started reciting those facts.
I mean, I got so excited I had to jump in.
Yeah, man, I like my
because you were kind of quiet during.
Yeah, I was. Well, I didn't want to be rude, but yeah. I'm ashamed that I was so wrong.
Smooth criminal, right there. But smooth criminal.
Yeah. Boom, well, boom, hey guys, boom, we're running out of time here. If that would surprise you, we only have time for one final feature, and that is, of course, a little something called plugs.
Plugs.
Because it's time for. It turns me on because it's time for
I'm certain you cleared that with Paul McCartney.
No, yeah, I called up George Harrison, actually.
Great.
Wrote that, so I called Danny up and cleared that. That was beautiful. That was
gorgeous.
Because it's time for plugs by Rosie and the Trucks. Thank you to Rosie and the Trucks. If you have a plugs theme, head over to cbbworld.com/plugs and upload it to us. If it's an opening the plug bag theme or a closing the plug bag remix, and you can be famous for a week. And Rosie and the Trucks, you are famous. And guys, what are we plugging? John, obviously, extended family season finale out this Tuesday.
Yes, big fun. Our St. Patrick's Day episode was great fun.
Really? What happened in the St. Patrick's Day episode? No, although don't spoil it, I guess. But
no, I don't want to spoil it. But no, my
did
character
a leprechaun
is,
come in?
No. My character is very proud of his Irish heritage and not happy that people celebrate it by barfing in the street. So he decides
goes and stays
to,
in his room all the time.
That's pretty much
sad.
He ignites the spirit of St. Patrick's Day, the true spirit of St. Patrick's Day.
Wow. Okay.
Big fun. But yes, I've got that. And then my podcast, Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
This is a fascinating story. I got to check this out. And apparently Carmine Back on Tour is going to be a guest on this show. Is that what I'm hearing?
Word out. We're going to talk about the crack. You know what I mean? They put the whole block was flooded, you know, Ronald Reagan and all that. I ain't never going to forget it. Never.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. By
any plugs for you?
You ain't got to apologize. You ain't do it, cuz. For me? Yeah, word up. Yeah. Yo, check it out. You know I'm from New York. You know what I mean?
No, that's been heavily established at this point.
Which boroughs? I'm not. Yes, yeah. Which one? Can
Brooklyn, Queens, man.
Go through them?
BX, though. BX is the birthplace of hip hop. So I want to plug this album I heard, and it was a beautiful album that got me through a lot of my virginity, and because it's about sensitivity and all that. This artist, his name's Lamar Woods, and he got this album called Highly Sensitive Person. Word up. It's for all the sensitive brothers out there. You could listen to it anywhere. Like,
yeah, and this
on
is
Apple, Spotify, all that, all the platforms.
This is a legitimate hip hop album that this person, Lamar Woods, who is someone I know, by the way. I don't know if that surprises you, but
you know some rap.
Yeah,
he's a cool brother. You know the cool cats.
Yeah, he is an interesting guy. He's like an improviser, I believe, at the UCB. And,
he does like a little comedy, but this like full hip hop. He's really rapping.
Out here rapping. I've heard him described as the second best UCB rapper.
Yeah, word up. You know what I'm saying? I think he rocks Dolos as well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I do think I was surprised. Check this out. I did hear some skits on the album. You know what I mean? So there were some comedians like Doughboys was on the album. Mm-hmm. You know, some
Are
funny
they comedians?
Cats. To each your own. So,
humor is subjective.
But if you like comedy, if you like Lamar for his comedy, you can still have fun.
And what's it called again? It's called
Highly Sensitive Person. For you know what I'm saying? Especially
Lamar Woods,
for a brother like me, a virgin.
Highly
got me through
person.
A tough time.
Yeah.
And then you could also check... that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah,
check out the album. What
check
about?
Out the album. That's
just
incredible.
Out.
I gotta hear that. It just came out, but somehow got you through some tough times.
Yeah, word up. Just came out.
But got you through a tough time.
I was having a tough time. Yeah, last night. I put it on. It went in my Spotify, and it got me through the day, you know?
Wonderful.
Word up.
Al A. Peterson, what are we plugging?
Well, you know, this comedian, Paul F. Tompkins, who is the third best UCB rapper.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah, he...
He's never, ever talked about this in his personal life.
It's a steep drop-off from number two to number
okay,
three.
Okay, yeah.
He's on tour with his show, Varietopia.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a bunch of dates. He's going to be in Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, BK, Brooklyn, New York.
Right, yeah.
Okay, what up?
Waldoboro, Maine, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Boston, Alexandria, Virginia, Philadelphia, Cleveland, St. Paul, Minnesota, Chicago, San Francisco, Charleston, South Carolina. Go to paulftompkins.com/live for all the ticket links.
And this is a great show, Varietopia. It's Paul F. Tompkins doing comedy as well as musical acts and sketches
it's
and characters.
It's a variety show.
It's a variety show.
Yeah.
The first couple of syllables of that should tip you off to that.
It's a little hint.
Yeah, yeah. It's a clue for all you Poirot's out there.
Poirot.
I want to plug, head over to cbbworld.com, and we have some great shows out there. Neighborhood Listen is over there, coming back very, very soon, maybe even next week, I think. And we also have Scott Hasn't Seen, my movie podcast, where Sprague the Whisperer and I review movies that I haven't seen before. We should do Hiding Out, because I never got to see Hiding Out. I was never allowed to.
You deserve it.
I deserve
it. It's a gift.
You should
yourself.
Be on that episode.
Why?
Sure, happy to.
Why were you not allowed to see Hiding Out?
Was it rated R or was it PG?
It might have been. No, it wasn't rated R.
It wasn't
must have been
R.
PG-13. Yeah, no, it was a back in high school movie.
Yeah.
Got some iffy politics nowadays, but...
Really?
Yeah, oh yes.
So but, it was a Trump movie?
No. Yes.
Yo, stop the
It was
play.
Like Home Alone 2?
No, it was a guy back in high school, but he does fall in love with a high school girl.
Oh,
he handles it very chastely, but it's still...
But he
gross.
Does fall in love
in,
with her.
In retrospect.
Yeah. But that's cool, right?
Yes, that's cool.
Sure,
Scott.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil the ending, but is it made okay by the fact that she is also hiding out?
That should be the sequel, where that's like revisionist takes care of all the iffy politics, where it's like,
bam,
hey, I was hiding out too.
Bam.
And it's cool that we fell in love.
Just an off-camera voice as the credits roll.
Yeah. Hey, by the way. We also have ad-free episodes of this show and all the backlog episodes of this show, as well as Threedom. Threedom is back on Thursdays. Myself, Paul F. Tompkins, and Lauren Lapkus. It's our show where we just hang out. And so much good stuff over there. If you subscribe for a month, that's cool. If you subscribe for the year, you can get 2 months free. And we also have action figures, the CBB book, so much stuff going on. So head on over to cbbworld.com, and hopefully I'll have some news about a potential other tour after the Varietopia tour coming up. All right, let's close up the old plug bag. For 10 years, we've been hearing terrible, terrible songs for the past 10 years.
That can't be true.
That is true. Every year, you sing a song for opening, but we're closing the plug bag.
I am literally so
mortified. You're mortified. Correct your behavior.
I hear you loud and clear. Here we go.
C. L.
Chocolate.
You have messed up the song.
What is it?
All right. 58 seconds. You know, when I say under a minute, I really mean 30 seconds. You got to follow the spirit of the law, and not the letter of the law in that case. But thank you so much. That was Dude, He Plugged Adele by Mr. Hall and Oates Puss. Thank you so much to them. And John, I want to thank you so much. It's so great to see you again. And thank you for being on the show. You were a wonderful addition. Proud member of the One-Timers Club.
Yes. Yes. The pleasure was entirely mine.
Really, was it? Because I had some.
Guys, no.
You're taking all my pleasure?
I want you to think about it. I want you to think about it.
All right.
Really think about it.
Okay.
Go back and think about it.
But wonderful to see you. Good luck with all this. And even though I don't really like plugging other podcasts on this one.
I understand.
Because I don't like the attention to swing over to them. I do
for even a moment.
I know. It does sound like a fascinating one. So I'll give a special dispensation to the listeners to go ahead and listen to that one.
Thank you.
Hey, Carmine, back on tour. Great to have you.
Wear it out.
I'm going to remember you next time, I swear.
I'll be back. Yeah, I'll be back. I've got another trip in about 2 weeks. Yeah.
2 weeks? I don't know that I can get you on that soon. How about another 4 years? What do you say?
Yeah. 4 years from now, I'll come back. It'll be, cool. it'll be like Dr. Dre dropping out.
Yeah, and L.A. Peterson. What's up? What's that noise?
I don't know.
Are you? Do you have a sense of ennui about your Arby's situation right now?
I do. I think it's time to take a sabbatical from Arby's.
You going to go back to your previous occupation?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've gotten perspective on it now.
You do. Okay, wonderful. Yeah. I mean, we miss you, you know.
I miss you too.
Honestly, I might need your services at some point.
Really?
Yeah, circumstances in my life have changed. I have, you know, a newcomer to my household, and the pressure of that.
Nicole Bayer or Lauren Lapkus?
Newcomer, Scott Aukerman's house. All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks. Bye.